Tonight to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 3. Those are some thoughts that I couldn't get away from, and especially thinking about tonight's message and thinking about what Brother Wayne has talked about and his desire of what he would love to start here with a class on Sunday afternoons or whatever it may turn into, Brother Wayne. Man, that's really needed. It's really needed. And man, everybody, get involved in that. You know, get involved in that and learn. And if you're not there learning, go and be a help to others who are learning. You know, go just get involved and take it personal. The work of your church. Now, this message, it's not been long since I preached this at our church, but I really thought that the Lord would direct our thoughts to this passage tonight, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, Thou hast begun to show Thy servant Thy greatness and Thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to Thy works and according to Thy might? I pray Thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain, and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, Let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. I thank Johnny for the introduction here to these verses. Verse 27, Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan, but charge Joshua, and encourage him, and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Our message tonight, again, is one that I really feel strongly about. It is about our need to reach the next generation. And this message is not a message of evangelism. It's not a message about the gospel. It's not a message about necessarily just witnessing, but it's a message about discipleship. It's a message about teaching and about training, passing the torch, if you will, to the next generation. And that's the title of our message tonight, The Next Generation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that You would bless us tonight, and that Your Spirit would be present in the service, and that You would, Lord, just walk to and fro in our hearts and speak to each one of us. Lord, I know that there are many here who desire to hear from Your Word, Lord, and who long for a closer walk with You and a better relationship, and Lord, just to see more of Your greatness and be strengthened as Moses was. And I just pray that You would do that tonight and help us, Lord, as we learn from Your Word. And again, I pray, Lord, for the requests that have been made, the ones that were mentioned from this body, the ones that were mentioned from our church, those that are represented here tonight, that You would just be with each one. Lord, I pray for those that are lost, Lord, that they would be challenged and they would be convicted by Your Word. Lord, that they would see in the other folks that are here tonight, that they would see in us just a love for our Savior and a love for the Word of God, a love for You. And Lord, they might just question what it is that's different, what it is that we have. And Lord, that would open a door for us to witness and tell them about You. And God, I pray that You would just speak to the lost souls that are here tonight. Lord, challenge us through Your Word. Lord, give us a greater desire to follow it. Help us to be sensitive, Lord, to Your Spirit and to Your leading. Help us not to turn Him off. Help us not to be cold and callous to it. But Lord, just help us to be sensitive and hearing to Your Word. We ask all these things and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The next generation. Three things that I want to bring out tonight as we look at this passage. First of all, passing the torch. Passing the torch. Now, in this passage of Scripture, Moses is encouraged to pass, his torch to Joshua. Moses was not allowed to go over Jordan into the Promised Land. You know that had to disappoint Moses. You know that had to, in a way, just eat at him. I mean, you can see his sincerity here in Deuteronomy 3, the last few verses of this chapter. Verse 25, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good Lord. Please, I'm begging you, I pray, please let me go over into this land. But it wasn't the Lord's will. He surely wanted to go so much, but the Lord wasn't going to allow it. But for all that Moses was not going to be able to do, God explained to him there on that mountainside, listen, Moses, though you cannot go over and though you'll not be going over into the promised land, the work of the Lord still goes on. And you need to get Joshua, take him aside, teach him, train him, encourage him and strengthen him, and pass the torch to him. You know, just because Moses died, that did not mean the journey stopped. The journey to the promised land, in fact, here on this side of Jordan, in a sense, it's just beginning. The possession of the promised land, even though now Moses is on the verge of death and not going to be allowed to go in, and for it to continue on, for the work of the Lord to continue on, Moses, you've got to pass the torch to Joshua. You've got to strengthen him and challenge him to lead. And listen, that's something that we as churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we need to realize. We have got to have an aspect and a ministry of our church where we pass the torch on, where we begin to teach and strengthen and challenge the next generation. I remember, it's not been long ago, I mean, it's just a few months ago since the Bible Institute here, and I remember Brother Chrisman preaching on humanism, and I remember some of the startling statistics that he had given. He mentioned that churches, many churches in our world in the next 20 years are going to probably die of old age. He mentioned somewhere around 3/4 of teenagers and college-age students are leaving the church as they exit high school and enter into college. And I know you can't bully people, and the Lord has to put it in their heart, but it does seem sometimes too that we've really dropped the ball when it comes to discipleship and when it comes to training. Man, there sure is a great need for it. What is discipleship? Well, let me give you an analogy that I've used before. Do you know what reaches the next generation? Do you know how to reach the generation that's around you? Evangelism. Preaching the gospel, witnessing, evangelism reaches the next generation. Do you know how to reach the generation beyond that? Discipleship. Because what discipleship does is it teaches those who have been evangelized, it teaches them to go and to evangelize others. It teaches them to go and train and be strengthened and strengthen others and challenge others. You see, that's the work of a church. It's evangelism, reaching the next generation, but we disciple those that are evangelized so that they can go and evangelize. And then they disciple, and then they evangelize. And it's a cycle that recurs. And it's supposed to recur and keep going on and on in the Lord's church. The Bible says until He comes back for us. Until He returns for us. That cycle is to continue going on. Well, listen here. Here's what I think. I really believe this. Evangelism sees to it that your church will be here tomorrow. You evangelize the lost, you preach the gospel, and that is what we do to see that our church is here tomorrow. Discipleship, training, and teaching is what we do to see that our church is here 40 years from now. Even when we're not. When we're not here 40 years from now, that's what we do. We disciple, we train, and we teach. Now turn to the book of Matthew chapter 28. This is the business of the church here. Okay, I mean, we know that this text is always called the Great Commission, but you call it whatever you want to. This is church business. This is church work right here. This commission that's given in Matthew 28, in verse 19, he begins, and he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Did you know that discipleship is just as much a part of the commission as protecting baptism? It's just as much part of the commission as preaching the gospel, teaching all nations, discipling all nations there, teach them to observe. That's just as much a part of the commission as the previous things are. Listen, if we don't believe that teaching and training and discipling is important, you can't expect your church to be here 30 years from now? Did you know that? If you don't disciple and teach and train the next generation, when you're gone, what do you expect? Many churches begin to die. Many churches begin to fall by the wayside. And I hate that it's that way, but it is. We really drop the ball when it comes to teaching and training and discipling. Lo, I am with you always. Under these things, and if you'll be faithful to me in these things, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What are those things? Preach the gospel. Baptize the converts. Protect baptism. But you teach them to observe. You've got to teach them to observe. Listen, I am a Matthew 16:18 Baptist. Okay? I believe the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe it will not be defeated. I believe that there will be churches that are sound in the faith, that are true Bible-believing churches when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. I believe that. I mean, right down to the bone. I believe all that. But like I've told my church at home, that doesn't necessarily mean that Salem Missionary Baptist Church will be one of those churches. That's a promise I don't have. And Independence Baptist Church, that's a promise that they don't have. And many churches today, churches by the handfuls, are closing their doors. And I just want to get in this first point, get you to the understanding of the importance of passing the torch and teaching the next generation. And it's something that every member of a church has to take personally. You have got to make it a personal work in your lives. Moms and dads, man, we got to, we got to do it at home. Sunday school teacher, in your classes, you got to take those things seriously. You are teaching and training young minds, older minds, whatever it may be, but you're teaching. You have a place and a position where you are influential in the minds and in the hearts and lives of others. We got to take those jobs, those things seriously, personally, and see that God's Word is taught and that our people are trained. You say, well, Brother Philip, I don't know if I would be very good at that. Moses used to think that stuff too. You remember Moses back in the early part of Exodus, and God told him that he was going to be the deliverer for Israel, and Moses, you're the one that I've chosen. I want you to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Lord, I just don't think I can really do that. I don't really think they'll listen to me. And Lord, I don't really have that great of a speech. I just don't think that I'll be able to do that. Okay, listen, no. That's not the right way of thinking. Okay, and God told Moses, listen, no. You go, I'll be with your mouth. I'll give you the ability and I'll give you the help that you need, but you've got to go. You've got to do it. Okay, you've got to put the foot forward to do it and to start doing the work of the Lord. Moses, I know you can't go over Jordan, but here's what you can do. And here's what I need you to do and what you're responsible to do. You take Joshua and you train him. You take Joshua and you strengthen him. And not just strengthen him. What else did he say? Encourage him. You get Joshua ready to go into the promised land. Hey, listen, I believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. I believe he could come back today. If he doesn't, I have a responsibility to be like Moses, and say, make sure that Joshua is ready for the next generation, to lead the next generation. Maybe the Lord will come back and it won't work out that way. Maybe he won't. Maybe it's another 40 years before, the Lord will come back, and then I'll be one of the older pastors or retired or whatever it may be, and then I'm supposed to train the generation that's next. I don't know when the Lord will come back. Okay? Maybe I get to go over this Jordan, maybe I don't. But I got to train Joshua. I do got to train Joshua. Man, we need to take a personal involvement. Get personally involved in the lives of others. Man, God has given us great churches. Great people in our churches. I see all my preacher pals up here, and a couple of you are falling asleep on me, but we've got young minds here that are easily molded, easily influenced. And that, sometimes we preach that in the negative.
You got to watch what you do because those young minds are easily influenced.
Yeah, I believe that too. But The reverse is true. These young minds are easily influenced. Let's get the truth in there. Let's get God's Word in there. Let's mold that. Let's mold their minds around that. You know, let's not always just preach it in the negative. Let's preach it positively. These young people are learning. They've got minds that can comprehend. Well, as we get older and we lose some of those things, man, we got young minds that have still got it all and energy and, man, they can learn. Let's challenge them. Let's strengthen them and encourage them. Hey, you know, you're going over Jordan and you're leading this group. Be ready for it. Be ready to take the fight to Canaan land. Be ready to possess and take this land. Passing the torch. Number two, passing the truth. Now turn back to Joshua chapter 1. Okay, Brother Philip, all right, I'm supposed to get involved. I'm supposed to get involved in the ministry of my church and in the lives of others. You know, every Moses in here needs to find them a Joshua. Find someone that you can be a help to, that you can be an encouragement to, that you can be a teacher to, and teach them. Well, Brother Philip, okay, then what do I do? What do I say? What do I teach? Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Okay, Brother Philip, I know I'm supposed to get involved in the lives and in the teaching of my church and teaching others and being a help to others. What do I do? What do I say? What do I teach? How do I do that? Well, it's interesting here that now, as Moses has died and Joshua is being commissioned by the Lord, you know what the Lord keeps referring to? Moses. He keeps referring Joshua back to Moses. Moses is mentioned in verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 5. Verse 7, the law and Moses is mentioned. Verse 8, the law is mentioned. Joshua, you teach and you go forward just what Moses taught. And the same thing that he began to teach, and you know, you teach it too. This book of the law, you know what Moses gave, what Moses taught you, it shouldn't depart out of your mouth. Okay? You stick with this. You stick with this just like Moses was supposed to. You know what we are? At least part of the definition we call ourselves, we are New Testament Baptists. You know, we live in a day and an age where we are facing some problems that are relatively new. A lot of our young people are facing problems in schools and in the outside world that some of them are new, some of them are worse. Some of them aren't new, but they're worse than they ever have been before. And we've got all kinds of drugs. We've got just open, you know, sexual immorality. That's always been a problem, but I mean, now it's promoted. Okay, it's promoted to a great extent. We've got all kinds of problems. We are facing problems that are new, but listen, let's not make the mistake of thinking because we got new problems that we need new solutions. We still are New Testament Baptists. We are still responsible to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to observe what? Whatsoever things I have commanded you. You know, our answer and our solution 2,000 years after Jesus Christ lived, it's still Him. It's still His Word. It's still His teaching. I just want you to notice here, by example in the Old Testament, Joshua, now it's your turn to lead, but I want you to lead like Moses led. I want you to follow that law. I want you to teach the people that same law. Okay, I want you to take up you know, the grunt work, and it's time for you to take up and start leading, but, you know, you still follow this. Okay, you still follow this. That's what we teach. That's what we teach the next generation. That's what we preach and where we encourage and challenge our young people, our teenagers, our older people. We challenge everybody. Teach them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. All the things that Jesus Christ taught, we teach. Okay? If you find something that Jesus Christ taught His people, teach it. You teach it to them. Let me give you a couple of examples here. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Now, what do we teach people? You know, some preachers seem like they only have like one agenda. They've got an agenda and they're going to push it and they're going to preach it all the time. And you know, some preachers are that way about prophecy. You know, some preachers, they get their TV programs and radio programs, and every time you hear them, it's on prophecy. Or some preachers, it's about charismatic interests. I mean, they're always talking about, you know, the laying on of hands, and they're always talking about spiritual gifts and tongues and all that kind of stuff. Some other preachers, you know, their one agenda, their one track mind is set on doctrine. You know, all those, you know, just, well, we got to teach doctrine, and we can't, you know, that's all they teach. They don't teach anything else. But there's supposed to be a balance there, okay? I like to preach messages on prophecy. I think it's very fascinating, very interesting. I love to preach about doctrine and you know, keeping to the faith of the New Testament and preserving the truths of God's Word. I like to preach on, you know, character studies. I like to do things like topical studies like the tabernacle. I like to do all that, okay? It's good. I need a balanced ministry, and the people of God need a balanced diet of God's Word. We got to be balanced. We got to teach the whole counsel of God and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now, what did Jesus Christ teach His disciples? Well, here's an example in Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know what Jesus Christ taught His disciples? He taught them how to pray. Do you know that? Jesus Christ taught His disciples about prayer. Isn't that something, you know, you think, teaching to pray. Well, isn't prayer something that just comes naturally? No. You know, a relationship with God, a desire to speak to God, that's not something that's bred naturally. I mean, we're sinful people. We're depraved and wicked people. You know, a relationship with God is not something that comes naturally. But Jesus Christ, and I think we should teach our young people, even if they're lost, we teach them to pray. I think you teach them to pray. I think you teach them to honor God and seek and still seek to make sure that they're doing things the way that is appropriate and right in the eyes of God. Jesus Christ taught His disciples to pray. You know, Jesus Christ, He did that a lot too. You know how I know that? You get over to John chapter 18 and verse 2, and the Bible tells you that when Judas Iscariot went to betray Jesus Christ, you know what he told those guys? I know the place. You know what? Because I know that Jesus, I know pretty often, He goes over here to this garden and He prays. He takes all of us over there and He starts praying. I bet you that's where you'll find Him. Now, how did Judas know that? Jesus Christ was always over there praying. I'm just showing you some different things that Jesus Christ taught His. Are we teaching our children to pray? Are we teaching them? Are we showing them the importance of prayer and trying to do things that are right in the eyes of God? Then I know that Cecilia notices it. You know that? Cecilia notices it about me. Aunt Myra told us a story. Mandy and I, one time, we went out, just the two of us, and Aunt Myra watched Cecilia for a little while, and she was even watching her overnight. And when it got time to go to bed, and Aunt Myra was getting ready to put her down for bed, Cecilia looked up at Aunt Myra and said, "Weed? Weed? Play? Play?" Mandy and I have tried, you know, over the last few months to start reading a chapter with Cecilia at night and praying with her. She doesn't understand it, and we don't do big, long devotions. She doesn't understand those things. We just read a psalm, and then we'll pray. She don't understand usually a word that comes out of our mouths when we pray. She knew that we did. You know, she knows. She already began to notice that we did. And man, that, you know what that did? That has been such a challenge to Mandy and to me that, you know, we've got a daughter who's not even 2 years old and she's watching everything that I do and everything that I say. Now that, you know, that's a decent example. I can, you know, give you some bad examples too. Every now and then you're going to walk around and you're going to hear Cecilia say, "Oh man." We say that all the time. You know, we'll do something, you know, foolish or just dumb, and I'll just, "Oh man." Cecilia starts walking around, "Oh man." I tell you, when she's sharp as a tack, you know, she learns. Her mind is so moldable. Her mind is so influenced that things that we do, and she don't forget them. She doesn't forget them at all. Man, that's a challenge to us to get personally involved in making sure that we're preparing her and seeing that things are done right. Turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Here's something else Jesus Christ taught His disciples. Luke 14, verse 25. "And there went great multitudes with Him. And He turned and said unto them, If any man come to Me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple." You know what Jesus Christ taught people who followed Him? He taught them about devotion. He taught them about loyalty, and He taught them about commitment to Him. I'm going to say this, and I hope it don't make anybody mad. You know, if you read through the Gospels, and if you take all that Jesus Christ taught His disciples, you don't really find a lot of specific references to doctrine. You know what you find? You find a lot of practical things like teaching them to pray, teaching them loyalty and devotion and being committed to Him. You know why? And here's, I believe this. I think that if a heart of a Christian is committed to the Lord and loyal to them, and he's loyal to the Lord, he has an open mind and open heart to the things of God's Word, I think the Spirit will lead him and teach him the truth. That's just what I believe. I think that if a heart is just truly committed and loyal to the Lord, "Lord, I want to do whatever You want me to do, and I want to believe what You want me to believe," I think the Lord will show him. I think the Lord, I don't think the Lord's just going to hide it from him and say, "Well, no, I'm not going to show you that." You know, I think if someone just wants to be loyal to the Lord, that's what He's teaching them here. Listen, if any man comes after Me and he doesn't put Me first, you know, and he's not loyal to Me and he's not committed to Me, he can't be My disciple. Now, you take the relationship that you have with your family, Jesus Christ says here in these passages, and you know, He's not talking about hating mother and father in a strict sense like that. He's talking about a relative sense. Whereas, listen, I have to be first though. You have to be committed to Me and loyal to Me. I have to come first in your life for you to truly understand the depths of being My disciple. You know, you know that He's not talking about hating in a hard and harsh sense your mother and father, your brothers and sisters and your family. Because this is the same Lord that in other places says, if you don't take care of your family, then you can't be My disciple either. So He's talking about a relative sense. You've got to be committed and loyal and devoted to the service of the Lord. I'm supposed to teach Cecilia that. Do you know that? I'm supposed to teach Cecilia, and we're supposed to teach the young people in our church, and every one of us is supposed to teach our Joshuas about being committed and loyal and devoted to the Lord. That's usually something that you teach by example. They see it in you. They see that you're loyal to the Lord. They see that you're faithful to the Lord. And you teach and you lead by example on those things. But Jesus Christ was teaching His people about devotion and about loyalty. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John 15, verse 12. "This is My commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus Christ taught His disciples how to love. How to love each other. That they were supposed to love each other. And He set the example for how to do that. You know, Jesus Christ wasn't the guy that walked around all the time, "Hey guys, I love you. I love you. I love you." You know, but He showed it. He loved them and He showed His love to them. And He taught them to love. Is that something that we take personal, teaching others to love? You know, do we teach other people, you know, do we teach our young people, you know, to love? Do we teach them honor and respect and love, and heartfelt sincerity and real life things? Do we teach them to love? I just remember one reference. It's over in one of Paul's epistles where he was writing to one of the young preachers and he said, you know, to teach the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. They were supposed to teach their children how to love. You have to teach young people how to love? Yeah. You got to teach them how to love. And I'm just trying to show you real life, real time, practical things. Teach them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. What did He command them? Loyalty, love, devotion, honor, prayer. All those things He taught them. All those things He instructed them on. And if we really want to be faithful to whatsoever things I have commanded you, it's got to all be included, doesn't it? It's all got to be included. Let's do that. Let's get personally involved in the lives of our young people and the lives of our teenagers and the lives of whoever you teach Sunday school to and the lives of whoever you may, if you're a boss at work or you have a position where you're over people or you just have a position where you are influential. You know, we got, you know, Melinda, you know, she's a big sister, you know, to three younger ones, you know, and you say, well, she's a big sister, you know, and that's a position of influence. You know, every one of us needs to look at things like that. You know, it's more than the pastor's job, and it's more than the Sunday school teacher's job, too. It's everybody's job. It's everybody's job. Why don't you make Matthew 28 your personal commission and your personal objective? Why don't you go out and preach the gospel to every creature? Why don't you go out and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? I know there's an aspect where we cannot personally take the baptizing part. Okay, I understand that. But you can take personal the discipleship part. Teaching others. You know, teaching others. You know, you don't have to use the pulpit to do it. You know, you be an influence on them. You be a teacher to them. You reach the next generation. You know the importance of teaching. You know, your child comes home and he's got a D on a math test. What do? Do you laugh at the kid and say that he's stupid? No. You know, you get him a tutor or you make sure next time he spends a half hour, you know, away from the radio or TV and he spends it studying for the next math test. You don't write the kid off because he didn't get it the first time. You teach him and you train him so that next time he gets it, so the next time he gets it right. We understand those things in the physical sense, don't we? You don't write your kids off if they make one mistake or they don't get one thing. You teach them and you train them. Why is it so many times that we as churches fail to make that application in the spiritual sense and teach them to observe all things? Teach them and teach them to observe all the things that the Lord taught His disciples. Yeah, doctrine, too. But man, teach them loyalty. You teach them devotion. You teach them how to love. Love each other. Love the Lord. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to be committed to the work of the Lord, to the service of the Lord. Number three, lastly, a personal touch. Now, if you'll look in the book of Acts, chapter 20, I'll give you the example of the Apostle Paul, of someone who got personally involved in the lives of those that he was around. Not in a general sense, from pulpit to pews filled with people, but in a personal sense. Acts 20 and verse 19, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." See that? I did it this way. I did it this way. I taught you publicly and I taught you from house to house. But I want you to just keep reading. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, if you don't understand in verse 22 to verse 24 there, he's talking about loyalty too. Now, I'm getting ready to go in chains and bound, you know, but here's what I know in verse number 24, none of these things move me, and I don't count my life dear myself, and I'm doing this for the Lord. You know, I want you to see that. I want you to learn that. That it's for the honor and glory of God. And when these things befall you, when these things happen to you, have the strength to do them as well. You know, you have the strength to follow in my footsteps. You read all through here in this same passage. He taught them. He taught them publicly from house to house. Down in verse number 32, it says that, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities to them that were with me." You know, not only did he teach, but he lived the example. He lived what he taught. Paul said in other places, "I became all things to all men, that I might just by some means reach some." And when whether it was publicly, whether it was house to house, whether it was on an individual basis, one-on-one with people, he got involved. He got involved in the lives of others. And I want you to challenge yourselves and get in God's Word and get personally involved in the lives and the ministries of others. You never know how your ministry and how your life and how your teaching can affect others in a sense that you may never, ever understand. Let me give you one example of that. How in the world could Brother Wayne have ever realized or ever visualized his ministry here in Forestell, Missouri, reaching places like Illinois and Central Kentucky and Southwestern Kentucky? You know, his ministry here affecting those far regions. But you know what? I know that Brother Wayne has trained some ladies in this church: Clarissa Duke, Mandy Thomas, Tracy Holbrook. And today they are pastors' wives going into other places, and Willow Hill, Illinois, Richmond, Kentucky, Olmsted, Kentucky, are being affected and being, you know, they've got a good godly influence there, partially as a result of teaching and training from a pastor in Forestell, Missouri, way on out in the country. But a pastor here in this town has an impact and a reach and a ministry now in those areas. You never know, do you? Just how far your ministry might be reaching to others. You know, you witness to someone, and they begin to witness to others, and they begin to witness to others. You teach someone and you train someone. You know, Moses, you know, trained Joshua. And I want everyone that here tonight is saved and a member of this church or a member of another church, I want you to take that personal. Find you a Joshua. Find you someone that is under you, that you have a position of influence on, and get involved and teach and train them. Man, I think these things are great. This box up here for questions, that's a great idea. You know, Brother Wayne wants you to get involved. He wants you to get talking to each other and speaking to each other and teaching each other. Man, get involved in the lives of others. Look at the Apostle Paul here. Man, the impact that he had there in Acts chapter 20, of all that he did and all that he said and all that he taught and trained, he's reaching others and teaching others. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 3. This was our text, Deuteronomy 3. Brother Wayne's mentioned a couple times this week about, you know, recently this church, you know, going through a transition. You know, those kind of things. Israel was in the same position. Moses has led them from Egypt to this place. Okay? For years, Moses has been their leader and they have followed him. And now they're on the footstep of Canaan land. And now there's no Moses. Now there's no Moses. Lord, verse 25, I pray thee, let me go over. But verse 26, but the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah. Lift up thine eyes eastward or westward and northward and southward and eastward and behold it with thine eyes. For thou shalt not go over this Jordan, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. For he shall go over before this people and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Moses, sorry. You're not going. But you charge Joshua and you strengthen him. We got a lot of young people here tonight. You know what they need? They're young in the faith. They need strengthened. They need strengthened to be able to stand up someday so that they can lead. So that they can take hold, so that they can take the reins and they can take the charge. They need strengthened. They need encouraged. See that there in that verse? They need encouraged to encourage him. Joshua's never led before. Okay, he's never been in that position. You need to encourage him. We need to encourage those that are around us that are our Joshuas who have never been in those kind of places before. I think of especially young people, but other ones too. Young people, I'm still one of the young preachers. We make mistakes. Immature mistakes sometimes, unknowing. And I tell you what, sometimes as young people we get discouraged when we mess up I've blown it and nobody's going to trust me again and I really messed up and nobody's going to ask me to do anything again and I just really messed up. And Joshua's need encourage too. They need encourage, here. Let's do the work of the Lord and challenge them and train them. They need strengthened and they need encouraged to fight a fight, to fight a good fight for the Lord and serve the Lord. Moses, find your Joshua. And you Christians that are here today, I might even challenge especially you older ones. Why don't you take a young Christian under your wing? Why don't you take, if it's one Christian, one young Christian in particular, why don't you take a personal ministry and invest it in their lives? Why don't you take one young person and just make that person a priority? Teach them. Train them. Spend time with them. Take them under your wing. Send them cards on their birthday and on special occasions. Give them a call on the phone every now and then. Just get involved in their lives. I'm so thankful. We got a young lady here tonight from our church, Shelby Ferguson, and she was just recently saved earlier this year. And it's been a couple months after she was saved, she started coming door knocking with me. Her and her brother started coming door knocking with me. And I'm thankful that they come and that they're zealous and they have a desire to be my Joshuas. And to just go with me and to follow me. And they come over to my house, quite regularly. And, we just sit there. And we don't even always just sit and talk about the Bible. We play video games sometimes or we'll watch a movie. But I just love that we have time with younger Christians in our church. We spend it together. We have a relationship with them. And, those are the building blocks for a personal ministry and lives. And I want to challenge each of you to do that. Okay, you don't have to be good at video games and playing with them or something. But you find you someone. Find you a younger Christian. Challenge them and strengthen them. And you Joshuas, find you a Moses. You younger Christians, why don't you find you a Moses? Why don't you find you an older Christian? And why don't you model yourselves after some of their good character qualities? Why don't you see how they live and how they're faithful? Why don't you model yourself after that? Every Moses has a Joshua, and every Joshua has a Moses. I had one. I've had some Moseses in my life. Good men who trained me and taught me and were just such a great help to me. And I'll just be honest, last year I kind of felt like Joshua. who's transitioning, you know, this is my first pastorate, I'm only 25, I feel like I'm Joshua, who's transitioning now to leader, from follower to leader. And you know what? I'm thankful for the Moseses that I've had. And you know what? I've learned a lot from my Moseses, and I'm starting to be just like them and starting to train my Joshuas now. Why don't you do that? You don't have to be a pastor to do it. Why don't you get involved in the lives of your young people? Get involved in the lives of younger Christians. You may be 50 years old and be a young Christian. You know, get involved in the lives of each other. You'll never regret it. This church will never regret it. You know, teach them. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, the church was booming. The church was growing. And it says three things there. In Acts chapter 2, the end of that. It says that they that gladly received His word were baptized. You know what that implies? The gospel was being preached. Souls were being baptized. Very next verse says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There you have all three parts of the commission. The word being preached, baptism being done, and continuing in what was being taught. And the Lord blessed that church immensely. Lord, that church began to boom. And I'm not saying your church is going to boom in numbers and attendance and all that kind of stuff, but it might boom in spirit. It might boom in, as far as you. You'll grow. You'll grow in the faith. I tell you what, I'm growing having some Joshuas around. I really got to watch myself when I know that Cecilia, when I know that Ryan and Shelby Ferguson are watching me. You know, that challenges me. I got to really watch myself. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. I wouldn't trade my Moseses and I wouldn't trade my Joshuas for anything. Get personally involved. You know, we're touching lives. They're going to last for eternity. Every soul that is in this room tonight is going to last for eternity. You know that? Get involved in it. Get involved in their lives. Make an impact. Make a difference for the Word of God and for the cause of Jesus Christ. Make it a personal job. By the way.